verse that the Lord has given us today, and I'm looking forward to what comes out of the other guys as well. But sometimes when the Lord gives me a verse to do this, I can look through my old notes or old books and stuff, and I got a thing of index cards, I got books, I got volumes of paper that are take notes over the years, and I go through all that stuff, and I can find something to cover this verse for the time. And but this time, the Lord gave me something I didn't even have anything for, so I was like, "Ooh, I've spent some time on this one here." So this is what God gave me, and I know it's supposed to be short time preaching, so we'll just endeavor to jump right into this here. But in Psalm 42, verse 8, that's the main verse and the verse that was given, and the verse basically just says this here: it says, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night." His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And what really struck me with that verse is where it says, "The God of my life." And I'm thinking back to Sunday school now. What I was talking about this morning with Sunday school, how the Lord just needs to be everything for us,
yes,
you know. And He's enough. When He's the center of our life, and we believe in Him and trust in Him and know that He's real beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's all you really need, amen?
Yes, sir.
I mean, he's our Heavenly Father. He knows what we're going to have something to eat, and there's some places to lay our head down. He knows if we have family, we've got to have our families looked after. I mean, He knows all that. And he's just enough for us, and praise the Lord for that. But I broke this down into, it's four parts here that I got here out of the verse for what God gave me for y'all today. The first part, the title was basically, "Yet the Lord." That's the title, amen. "Yet the Lord." And because it's in contrast to the previous verses in the psalm, he just makes a stop. He makes a stop after verse 7, and then he says, "Yet the Lord." And you read what's previously going on there, and I'm not going to take the time to do that. You can see there for you. Some of it's pretty good. Some of the stuff is just it's interesting to ponder, and you just need to muse on some things from the Word of God sometimes. Get your thinking straightened up, and think about what God thinks about. And it's just interesting what he gives us to ponder in the Word of God many times. But here he starts off, he says, "Yet the Lord." He's the focus. He's the one. We think about these other things going on. And he says, "Yet the Lord." And then the Lord, He will command His loving kindness. And I'm looking forward to what Brother Tom's going to be bringing. Tom Rice, he made mention of this. And I said, don't tell me. Wait for later. I want to hear it all later. So I'm looking forward to that. But loving His, the Lord will command His loving kindness. I notice here, just in that one part of the verse there, that one phrase, He will command His loving kindness. It tells me right away that it's not a suggestion. It's a command God is giving. He's going to command His loving kindness. It's not an option either. When in the military, everybody understands that. An order, you don't have, there's no debate time for it. You either disobey or you obey. That's it. There's only two things you're going on. Most of the time you want to obey so you don't end up in the brig or jail or wherever they want to put you there. But he says He will command His loving kindness. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It is something that God is commanding to happen. And why do I want to point that out? Why did God point that out to me? To show me that not only is He in charge of us as His people, His creation, His people that are saved, His children, God in charge of the world and all that, but He's even in charge of loving kindness. He's in charge of the immaterial aspects of our life. He controls all that too. God is incredible. He really is. He's not just a great, big, awesome, sovereign, powerful God that created all the physical things that we see. He created all the intricacies and how they relate with one another. I mean, He created the synapses and how they fire in your brains and how the emotions take place in your life and how you respond emotionally. He created all of that stuff too. It didn't just happen, you know. God intricately designed it specifically to do just what it does. And He commands His loving kindness. And He does that, and says there in the daytime. And I got written down here, "Thank God for the daytime." A lot of good references there that come to mind there. But sometimes we're in a part of our life where things are dark, where it's overcast, we're kind of, you know, discouraged by that, distracted by that, we can't see quite as well perhaps, and clouded, and maybe our judgment, our spiritual perception, whatever. But thank God the daytime comes. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever there's a nighttime or a dark time, there's always going to be the daytime coming. It's rested. Thank God for that. Amen. Why is it that? Why is it that way? Because God did it. God put the day and the night together, and the way it is, and the way our clock runs, and 12 hours, and all that good stuff. God did all that. That's all His. Amen. We just get to use it all. Amen. But thank God for the daytime. And then also, as a child of God, every nighttime has its end. Every time we're going to go into a dark season, we see something happening to us, we can rest assured, like it says in Scripture a whole lot of times, and it came to pass. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. You're going to go through it. Just trust God. He'll be there no matter what. When you go through that, He'll be there on the other side, and He'll be there to take you through it the next time. He'll be there. He's always there. Thank God. As a child of God, every time, every nighttime has its end. We're going to see some daylight.
Yes, sir.
Don't ever give up. The devil will always get you to focus on your immediate surroundings. He'll try to put blinders on you to where all you can see is just right there in front of you, what you have around you. You just need to realize and look by the faith of the grace through the power of the Son of God, and just look ahead and say that there is a light. There is going to be an end to this. Whether it's a situation you're going on, whatever it is, there's going to be some light. And thank God every nighttime has its end. And then the verse says, And in the night His song shall be with me. So He says that He's going to command His loving kindness in the daytime. And thank God for the daytime. Every nighttime has its end. But then it says in the nighttime, in the nighttime His song shall be with me. When night does return, there is a settled promise of His song. As a child of God, you're never severed from God. It's impossible. You're never severed from God. You may feel far away. You may feel alone. But those are your feelings. It's not the reality. Let that sink in. That's your feelings. It's not the reality. Because most Christians think their feelings are the reality. And it's not. We are never severed from God.
Amen.
No matter how bad you may feel, how much you are overwhelmed, it is impossible for God to be severed from you.
That's right. Thank God.
Now, Jesus, we talked about this yesterday. I was with Miles. He had a special preacher coming in for the weekend, and we were making comments about this. He talked about Calvary and different things. And I mentioned the fact, I said, yeah, on Calvary, this Trinity was split. Why? For you and for me.
Amen.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three. But on Calvary, it was severed. God turned His back on His Son. It was pitch black. The communication, the connection, it was severed. Jesus Christ died. He didn't pass out. He didn't just get drowsy. He died. They stabbed His body. Blood and water came out. That means the blood had already started separating. He was dead. The body was not functioning anymore. The Trinity was severed. Why? For you and for me. Now, you and I will never have to experience that. Praise
Amen.
God. As a child of God. Amen. But in the night, His song shall be with us. When night does return, there is a settled promise of His song. God loves us more than we'll ever be able to comprehend in this life. When we get to heaven, it'll be obvious. It'll be apparent. But now, it's hard to understand and grasp just the magnitude and the depths and the intricacies of His love for you in your life. But listen, it is there. It's everything you need. And then another song, it says a familiar song, that's comforting to the soul. In the night, His song shall be with me. We have like favorite desserts. We have favorite things in our life. And some of us may have a favorite song or a favorite hymn or something like that. This is something that comforts. It's familiar to you. It's a spiritual settling, solace thing for your soul. It's a blessing. And it's His song. Amen. It's something God provides. And in the night, His song shall be with me. It's a promise that the psalmist is saying, even in the nighttime, I may not be able to see him, but his song is going to be with me. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and just something's on your mind, maybe whatever? God's with us all the time. And when we're going through a hard time, and listen, people may be in a hospital bed, and may be in a room where they can't, you know, get up, and they can't go out, they can't get out and about, but they can still rejoice in the fact that God is with them, God is there, and they're God's child, and they're going to be going to heaven someday. And they have that settled assurance. This is the kind of peace I'm trying to get at. It's His song shall be with me. His song. Not some little ditty on the radio, not some top 40 hit favorite, but His song, a song of spiritual peace, a song of spiritual satisfaction that helps your soul. Not your emotions. It's not a knee slapping, you know, get down, yahoo. It's something for your soul where you need to cling to something that nobody else can give you but God.
Yes, sir.
That's the song the psalmist is talking about.
Amen.
You say, what in the world does that mean? I don't have anything like that in my life. God will give it to you.
Yes.
Just ask Him. Listen, God doesn't want to hold anything back from anybody. He doesn't. If that was the case, Jesus would have never died. He doesn't want to hold anything back. He didn't hold anything back. He wants to give it all to us, but we just don't ask. We try to do it our own way. We're stiff-necked, we're hard-headed. Like you know, like I talked about in Sunday school, when you get a teenager, you say, well, Dad, I think I know how to do this a little bit better than you. You know, why don't we do it this way? And we just bullhead our way through. We learn the hard way, my dad used to say. Listen, ask God. He's not only where you are now, but at the same time He's with you where you are now, He's also where you're going to be 50 years from now. He's there right now.
Yes, sir.
He's already there. He's not on His way there to intercept you. He's there today in 2018. He's where you're going to be 2050. He's already there.
Amen.
That doesn't get much better than that. I mean, He's got everything covered. Amen. It's His song shall be with me, a familiar song, comforting to the soul. And then at the last of the verse it says, and my prayer unto the God of my life. In the night His song shall be with me. Then it says comma there. And it says His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. So the song is also with my prayer. It's conveying back to God what He's given to me. Interesting how this works in Sunday school again, but that's what it's doing. Anyway, but that same song helps us get through the nighttime, those dark seasons, and also that same song is how we convey back to Him as He gave it to us to begin with, and He rejoices in that. Amen? When we pray back to Him the Word of God, we pray back to Him in spiritual truths, we pray back to Him how He, that's what God delights in. Amen? And His song is also with my prayer. Amen? God, He wants things His way. And He's patient with us. He's merciful with us. He's gracious with us. He allows us to learn, to grow, to understand, apply, and grow in our life. But He wants things His way. And as a sovereign God of the universe, my Savior, my personal Savior, rules the entire universe.
Right.
But what really needs to concern me is this a sovereign God of my Savior, does He rule me? That's what's going to make the difference. Because Him ruling the universe, I won't affect that at all. You can't change that. But does He rule me? That's where I can change it. Amen? So yet the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Good preaching. And then Brother Jacob.
Alright, Psalms 42. I had my place, but then I lost it. Alright, Psalm 42:8 says, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. About 2 years and 11 months ago, this chapter was exactly the chapter that I claimed. Because I was going through a dark tunnel. And the Lord commanded his love towards me, and he saved me from that dark tunnel and brought me out of that night. His song and my prayer was heard from my Savior. Let God be thanked. If there were not, if it wasn't for the Lord, I would have drowned in my sin, or I would have been swallowed up by Satan. Yet the Lord commanded his loving kindness towards me, a wretched sinner like me, and gave me peace during the dark night.
Amen.
My title of my sermon is God Cares for His Children, and I'm one of His children.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The first point is God gives us His hope. Psalms 42:10-11 says, as with the sword in my bones, mine eyes reproach me. While they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. God gives us hope. He doesn't take it away like the world does. He doesn't take it away like the devil does. He gives it to us. He doesn't make us pay for it. He just gives it to us. The second point is God gives us his help. David says in Psalms 118:6, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? There's nothing man can do because we're practically impenetrable because God gave us his help.
Amen.
He controls his angels. He commands his angels to watch over us while we're here. It says, Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God gives us his help. The third point is God gives us his heart. David also says in Psalms 42:8a, he commands his angels, he commands his love, loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. What's his song? I looked at that, and David sang a lot of songs. And what a song does is brings us peace in our heart.
Amen.
And he gives us that peace while we're going through that darkness.
Amen.
And so it says, 2 Corinthians 7:15, and his inward affection is more abundant towards you, whilst he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling ye received him. Let's give him our heart today. If it would make him smile. So it says Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
He gives us his hope, he gives us his help, and he gives us his heart.
Amen. Good job.
Play a little something for us,
and then we'll have a couple more preachers come up. How many of y'all have enjoyed that so far?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll have a few more after Miss Connie plays. I've had a good day. Amen. Love church.
Sound good, didn't it?
Amen right there. And Brother Rob, how about we go ahead and have you come on and preach for us a little bit. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Give you a proper introduction. I feel like a cow.
Yeah. I ate too much.
This is amazing, people who can play the piano. I can't play. I can play Three Blind Mice over and over. That's it. As far as it goes. Sounds pretty good once you do it real fast. It's amazing that how you can take the Word of God and never be able to use it up or exhaust it.
Amen, brother.
It's never out of date. You can always find something there, something new. It's always been the same. It never changes. But you can dig and dig just like a gold miner digging for gold. But sometimes they can dig and dig and dig and not strike anything. But if you get into the Bible, you're going to guarantee you're going to hit some gold nuggets. They're there and you'll find them. I got a little bit of approach I'm going to do here. Like I said, it's amazing how God can tie all this in together. I'll start by reading the scripture. It says, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the day time, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." I was having trouble kind of putting something together for this, and the Lord showed me last night, because I was looking all week, and said, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I supposed to say about this? There's too much theology here for this little pea brain to grasp. But that one little phrase down there, God of my life, was what left out at me, and I thought I got some points here I wanted to preach on it. it says, God of my life, well, and our God of your life, He can only be the God of your life. Is he only the God of your life when it's convenient? And sometimes we wait things just to be right, just the right situation, the right circumstances before we think, well, we can serve God then. Well, I got news for you. The Christian life and serving God is never convenient.
That's right.
It's never going to be.
Right.
And the next point is, is your God of your life only on Sundays? Well, yeah, we all know you need to be in church on Sunday, but for some people, that's as far as it goes. 6 days of the week is secular, and one day of the week is spiritual. I think every day is spiritual for the Christian. It's not just on Sunday. And sometimes we actually try to separate the secular from the spiritual. I don't think we should do that because it goes together. He gave us the secular life too, but we can worship him in the secular. And another thing we think is God can only be the God of my life only when I want something. We always want something from God. And he's not going to begrudge us what we ask him in faith and everything. But sometimes that's the only time we go to him is when we think, I want something, but. And another point is he can be God of your life only when things are trying. That's not that. I mean, yeah, life is going to be trying. It's always going to be trial. If you wait for your life to get better, then it's not going to happen. We serve God through the trials, in spite of the trials. The trials are there for us. They're for our benefit. We may not see it at the time, but they're there. Just like what happened to me this week. I went to get my oil changed yesterday, and I come to find out they couldn't change it. They said my dipstick, the handles broke off, and the thing's down inside there. And they couldn't get it out, so I tried getting it out. It didn't work. I only succeeded in pushing it down further. So I took it to a fella up the road here, and he said, bring it in next Saturday. And he said he had tried to get that out of there. It can be tricky to get it out of there because you don't want to shove it too far down in there because you hit a moving part or something down in that oil pan or whatever, and you got problems, real problems then. But that right there just kind of got me down, discouraged. I'm thinking, what else is going to go wrong? What else? I said, every time I get ready to do something, every time I get ready to preach, I try to obey the Lord. Something happens every time. Every time.
That's how it goes.
I'm thinking, Lord, I don't want to get a bad attitude about this. I said, I get a bad attitude enough about these things. I said, I need to stop thinking you're God of my life in spite of a broken dipstick. he can be God. Is he only God of your life only when you feel like it? Well, you can't base it on feelings because we feel different every day. Some days I feel up, and some days I feel down, but God's still God. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed one bit, regardless of our feelings. We serve him, because a lot of times I don't feel like coming to church. A lot of times I don't feel like reading my Bible. I feel like praying. It's at them moments that I have to do it, because that's when God wants me to come to him, when I'm not feeling like it. When I'm feeling like it, I don't feel like I've even achieved anything. When I'm just, I feel spiritual today. I feel spiritual. That was always, I found that in life, that's always a spiritual dud. That's when nothing ever happens. I'm like, okay, I didn't learn a thing from that. That was just dead. Can he be God of your life only on the holidays? Yeah, Christmas and Thanksgiving and all these holidays that we celebrate, they're good. There's nothing wrong in themselves that's wrong with them. But sometimes we think that's the only time we can recognize God or we can give him acknowledgement is on Christmas or Thanksgiving. And yeah, I expect it from the secular world, but not for Christians. Every day should be a holiday for us. Or more accurately, should be a holy day. Because that's where that word holiday comes from, is actually holy day. Every day is a holy day. It can be God of your life on a holy day. I'm going to go back up and read a couple more back up. I'm going to backtrack and get the context here. I'm going to go back to verse 1. It says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they're continually saying to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I'll pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude, and I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance. Now, a little bit just kind of going back to where I was before, is he's the living God and the God of your life. He has to be the living God to be the God of your life.
Amen.
He's not a dead God. He's God. He can be the God of your life when even that's, again, when it's not convenient. But here's the little thing I want you, another thing I want you to see here. Here's I think one of the key components that left on me. It says, I will praise him. It keeps saying, as Brother Larry pointed out, yet the Lord, or yet this, yet that, yet the Lord. Well, each time that happened, he always responded by praise. Monday through Sunday, we can serve him. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's the God of our life on them days, too. And then again, it says, yet I will praise him. When he becomes all you want, instead of what you want, but what he becomes all you want, then that's when you respond in praise. You praise him. There's a recurring theme there. And when things are going well, sometimes I think as Christians, we want to reach out to God when things are really bad. But sometimes I think when things are going good, we kind of have a tendency to just kind of forget it. When things are just going right, well, as we perceive going right in our lives, we have a tendency to say, all right, well, things are going right. I don't need to bother God right now. You can't bother God.
Amen.
He wants you to talk to him when things are going good. And when you actually stop and think about it, life pretty much goes good all the time.
Yes.
It don't go as bad like we think. We actually think,
well,
we have one bad day, we think our whole year is ruined.
Yeah.
But that's just not so. Life is tough, yes, but most of it's pretty good, I've come to find
Amen.
Out. Life is pretty good. Don't haul off and knock you on your back. The rest of it seems like it's pretty good. We forget about the times it's pretty good. And yet, I will praise him.
Amen.
And I want to go back to the point. It says, when I don't feel like it, I will praise him. I mean, it keeps going back. It's like a circle. It goes round and round and round. As long as you stay within that circle of God's word, you're not going to go wrong. Realize every day that it's not just a holiday, but a holiday, I will praise him. Again, this is the recurring theme. I'm going to read this one more time. It says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance.
Amen.
That's the theme here. Praise him. He's the God of your life when you're praising him. We don't praise him enough.
Amen. That's good, brother. That's good preaching. Amen. Brother Tom Wright. Amen. I'm enjoying this. I hope you guys are.
Yeah.
I'm getting help from it. Amen.
I run off and left my notebook at home. I sat down here after reading this and Lord, give me something else to go on, so I'll try it. Verse 8 there. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, my prayer unto God of my life. The command of his loving kindness. come out of the doctor's office the other morning, I tell Brother Larry, but I turned the radio on and J. Vernon McGee was just getting on to this love kindness, but he got it out of another chapter of the Bible. God's love, kindness. He said, remind him of the story he once heard a preacher say. And he said, it was about a little girl. She'd asked her mom for a piece of toast. And she said, mom went in, fixed the toast, and she put butter on it. She'd asked her for toast with butter on it, so it was. And she put the butter on it, but then she got a jar of jam, put just a little bit of jam on top of it. And so that made the mother's love kindness was reminding her of God. She was asked a question about love kindness, what it meant to her. And she said, the love kindness is when she took that jam and put on top of that bread and butter. You know, it's the way God is to me. I'll be down or something, or maybe have something on my mind. I have to get out by myself, be cutting yard or something. He'll show me some little old nugget, as the brother said there. You know, I thank him today for that. But also, about the song in the night. One time here at Crossroads, Brother Bill might remember this, but I remember it like it was yesterday. Woke up in the middle of the night one night, couldn't sleep, and got up and opened my Bible up in Isaiah there and got to reading it. And Isaiah 6:8 talked about, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go? For who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. You know, Isaiah was talking there, but I took that as Christ. I looked at it as Christ. You know, he was standing there in heaven, God looking around, trying to find somebody. And Jesus stood up, Father, I'll go. Amen. I'll go for in his place.
Praise
you know,
Lord.
And then the song, the old rugged cross, came to my heart.
Amen.
And at the time, we had a little quartet here, Brother Bill. I can't remember the other Bill's name, but there's two Bills. Jerry Pemberton, his wife played the piano first, and myself, and Dave Cordell. I forgot about Dave. I asked him to help me that when we sung the old rugged cross. I never will forget it, but it was a special blessing to me that day because God gave me that nugget to hold on to. You know, and I think about it quite often, get thinking about it, and I praise him for it. Then my prayer unto me, the God of my life. He is the God of my life. He's been there for me through sickness. I was in a car wreck one time before I got saved. But through the prayers of my mom and my dad, I pulled through it. Came out with just a broken arm. I was out for 2 or 3 days, but the doctors and God pulled me through it because of my mom's and my dad's prayers. I was 17 years old when I had the wreck up in Indiana. But through that, God pulled me through it. But Psalm 63, 5, 6, and 7, David wrote, let me find a place here. I think I wrote the right one down. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of the wings will I rejoice. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
And there's another old song. I get a lot of songs sometimes out of these messages, you know. But But there was a song I heard, well, sure, fall back. I hadn't heard it in a long time, but God was, had asked God to keep him in the center of his will so he wouldn't get in his way. I pray like that sometimes myself.
Amen.
Just take me out of the way, Lord. Put me someplace. But as long as you're in the center of God's will, you don't have to worry about
that's
it. Because
right,
you ain't going to be in his way to block somebody from getting saved, maybe, or seeing a great revival break. You know, as long as we stay in the center of his will. That's about all I had. I had some on command, but I guess I left my notes
that's
at home.
Good,
but I thank God for for his love and his mercy and his grace.
I'm so glad to be part of the church. Isn't this a wonderful day?
Amen.
I mean,
yes, sir.
To hear the little squeals of the little ones, that blesses my soul.
Amen.
Kidding. And to see teenagers be at church and young adults and older people. Seriously, because as missionaries, we visit a lot of churches. And once you know, a lot of independent Baptist churches are filled with people my age. As bad as I hate to admit that, that's older people. Scotland especially, my brother Robert was saying there, people think one day a week's good for God. People over in Scotland, some of them, the average, I would say the average Scotsman thinks, you know, they visit church about three times in their life. Once when they're a baby and they're getting sprinkled. Shut up, credit. No, and then once when they're getting married, and then once when they're putting their long home, and that's it. And that's sad because Scotland was a country sending out more missionaries than any other country in the world. But praise the Lord for a church like this church. It's a blessing to be here today. And I've entitled this In the Day and in the Night. There's Psalm 42:8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. And this was a maskil. It was written, many people believe this was written when King David was running from his own son Absalom to keep from killing his son. He ran. It says there, we're going to look in a little while there at some of the other verses in that chapter. But this was a maskil. It was written at one of the darkest. I can imagine it was perhaps, if that's true, it was written at that time. That was without a doubt one of the darkest days of David's life. It was truly nighttime. And just like Brother Larry pointed out there, yet, I know all this is happening to me, yet, the Lord will command. There's going to be another daytime in my life, King David was saying there. He will command his loving kindness. This, the famous Scottish preacher Alexander McLaren said, the fortresses of the foe will not be won till Judah ceases to vex Ephraim, and Ephraim no more envies Judah, but all Christ's servants in one host with the king, known by each to be with them, make the assault.
That's good right there.
And what was he saying? He's saying the same thing as this verse says right here. Fighting many times in the church. If you look at the church nowadays, the church that we know as the church, all the infighting going on within family members, you might say. That's where it is. And David was knocked out. If this was the truly the case where he was writing after Solomon's trying to usurp the throne through deceit, and this happened over a long period of time through deceit and treachery and the help of Ahithophel and all this, and force, brute force, and all this that's happening as we see in our 21st century church nowadays, we see there's a great deal lost to the cause of Christ, many times in the name of religion. And it's sad. It breaks your heart. But as this points out, there's only one thing you can do, and that is hang on to the fact that it's going to be daytime still.
Amen.
It's going to be daytime. I'm going to get through this by the grace of God, and we'll see how David saw this too. It was just amazing. As we look back there in the first verse, he says,
As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. There's some deer that come up and they feed in the little meadow right there in front of our house. There's about five of them most of the time. But I also hear coyotes. Now, I was raised in New Mexico. I can tell a coyote. I mean, I hear those coyotes, and I just generally tell just about how far away they are. Those coyotes, these wild dogs come up around there. They'll chase those deer. And, you know, when a deer runs, they run pell-mell. And they run. It's a free-for-all. I mean, it's whoever makes it. I mean, it's just and they run, and they run, and they run, and they run, and they'll outrun whatever's chasing them. And they're so scared. A deer is timid by nature. A Christian may be timid by nature. And we run many times when life attacks. And a lot of times the Lord just wants us to stand. He just wants us to stand. But even as that deer, King David was saying, and David was on the run from just to basically, not because he was scared. David was, of all men, had a lot of fight in him, but he was running for different reasons. And it said there, just like that deer running, my soul thirsteth for God. Not just for God, but for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know, Christian, a lot of times, and I talk to a lot of Christians who say, praise the Lord, I can't wait for the Lord to come back. It is going to be a great and terrible day, the Apostle Paul said. Judgment Day is going to be a great and terrible day. But you know, still can't. I can't wait. I can't wait till he gets here. Yes, it's going to be a great and terrible day, but I can't wait to appear before God. He said there, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me. Listen, this is what his enemies were saying. Where is thy God? They were taunting him. This is all happening to you and you call yourself a Christian? They say that again over there in verse 10. But he goes on, he says, when this happens, when I remember these things, when I hear these taunts, and I'm going through and I'm thinking all these things, why is this happening and that happening? And it's certainly not daytime in my life at this point in my life. It's night. It's dark. I can't see anything. I can't understand. I can't think what I should do. I can't solve this myself. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I remember I went to church. He said, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. I remember those days in my life. Wasn't it something? I can remember back, we used to, the church I grew up in had Fifth Sunday dinner too.
Amen.
And I can remember what a day it was. They used to let the kids eat like we did today, let the kids and the ladies eat first. And so, hey, I was one of the first to gobble. I didn't gobble that much anyway. But I was outside, and we were running and playing and fighting and doing other things kids don't are supposed to do. But anyway, there in verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. He's trying to encourage himself. Again, over there, when David he and all his men lost their wives and lost their possessions because they were doing something, trying to do right in the face of all wrong, and they get back and they've already taken them all. But and the Bible says there, King David encouraged himself in the Lord. King David was good at this, trying to encourage himself in the Lord. A lot of times when we get alone with God, that's all we have is Lord to encourage us. We have to, he repeats that now. We're going to see that again in verse 11. But he goes on there, verse 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. You know, we live in a day where we hear that a lot. It makes me shudder when I hear, oh my God. It especially makes me shudder when I hear a Christian say, oh my God. You know when the Bible says, oh my God? Every last time the Bible mentions, oh my God, it's in prayer. I got to thinking about that.
That's good, bro.
When I looked up that term and found out how many times it's in the Bible and every time it's in prayer, I thought, that's a good response right there.
Yeah.
You hear somebody say, oh my God, you can just stop and say, oh, let me bow my head. I'm sorry, I didn't know you were praying. It'll make them think. The Bible says it's used in prayer.
Yes, sir.
And we don't need to cast his name around. He says, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan
and the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Look at that. He said, I will remember thee from the mountains of Hermon. Those mountains of Hermon, the three tallest mountains over there in Israel. And he says, I remember standing on that mountain. I remember how warm it was. I remember the sun shining. I remember what a good day I was having over there. But look at that next verse. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. Sometimes the oceans themselves, at God's obedience, are churning us under the waves. Because look at it, what he says. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Can you imagine that? He's down there and the ocean is churning him. The force of water is strong. And you get it. I've known young men down in Texas. I'm thinking of a man who got in a whirlpool and drowned simply swimming and out of the, he ended up in a whirlpool. This was David. He says, the waves had churned me under. I can't breathe. I gasp. I want to gasp for air, but I can't because the water has me holding my breath, and I can't wait for that moment when I can bust through to the air and gasp that gasp of breath again. That's what David was saying.
Yeah, amen. That's good.
He was in a dark, dark place in his life. And again, yet the Lord
praise
will
the Lord.
Command his loving kindness
amen.
In the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. We see there his prayer in verse 9. I will say unto God, my rock, like the pastor was talking about this morning, why hast thou forgotten me? Who prayed that prayer? The Lord Jesus prayed that prayer.
Yes. Yes.
On our behalf, he prayed to his Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Have you ever asked God why? I tell you what I've heard preaching. Never question God. Never ask why until I did it. In exasperation one day, I was working on a Dodge. And that's enough right there. I was replacing, somebody had given me that Dodge, and I was replacing a ball joint, and that wrench slipped and I about took the knuckles off. And the pressure I was in, I mean, I had just started Bible college. So you can imagine the pressure I was in, trying this new routine and all that stuff. And everything was happening. And then finally, that was like the straw that broke the camel's back. And when I busted my hand, I hollered out, why? And it hit me dead mark. Am I still alive? I'm serious. It scared me. I was saying in my heart, I realized later. Now, God, in his grace and mercy, didn't zap me. And probably 1,000 times after that, didn't zap me when he should have, when he could have, because of his grace and mercy.
Thank God.
But why is all this happening to me, David was saying? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why does this seem to keep going on and keep going on and keep, as with a sword in my bones, not in my gut, not in my muscles, in my bones. When the sword is in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, and there it is again, like in verse 3, where is thy God? They're asking, taunting, where's your God now, Christian? Where's your God now? So again, David, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Just like verse 5. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the. In verse 5, he said, help of his countenance. In verse 12, he says, the health of my countenance. And just like it was said there, the things that happen to us in this life are to get us healthy.
Yes.
They grow our spirit.
Yes.
The Lord commanded his loving kindness in the day. He will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, his song, singing. I tell you, singing helps.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't remember where. This has been a few weeks ago. And I was smacked down by some situation. I don't know. It's probably this British visa. And I'm feeling lower in a post hole. And I just started singing. I started singing this song. And I remembered that song. I remembered singing it in chapel in Bible college. And the more I sang that song, the more I started rejoicing. And before I even got home, my wife wouldn't have even known I was having a bad day if I hadn't told her about it. But I had to share that blessing with her. The singing got me out of that hole. Glory praise to God. Lord. We can sing and we can pray if we need to. Praise his name.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to preach. I do want to look at something, though, for just a second. I got something out of all those. That was good there. The psalmist said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm in the 46th psalm. Forgive me. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. If one person in this church gets a hold of that right there, it'll turn this church upside down. I mean, really. If one person gets a desire in their heart for God, like that desire right there, this church will be changed. If this whole church gets a desire like that, it'll change the whole world. And I mean that in all sincerity there. I mean, it would literally change the world. If a group of people just like this one here this evening will get on fire for God. The psalmist said that, and I was thinking, and I'm really not going to preach, I just want to share a quick thought with you right here in verse number 8. It says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. This is a fascinating book. This is an unbelievably fascinating, incredibly inexhaustible book that we have here. And oftentimes, it's incredible when you really dig into the Scripture and look into the specificities of it to see the truth that God is trying to communicate to us, because oftentimes, God has to bring things down to our level so that we can understand them. You study theology. We were talking about this one day. There's different theological terms and big proper terms like anthropomorphisms. She's like, I'm not going to get up any time soon and preach on the anthropomorphisms in the Bible. But basically what that is, it's any time in the Bible where God will be likened unto any kind of physical entity to help us to understand some aspect of how he interacts with us. To say, the arm of the Lord is not shortened that he cannot save. You know, we're saved by grace through faith because of what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. You know, that when we're saved, you know, the arm of God doesn't reach out of heaven and just pull us up into heaven. Literally, so to say. But God uses that figuratively to explain the truth that there's nobody that's too far beyond God's saving. And so God takes these truths and he puts them in the Scriptures and he teaches us these things in ways that we can understand them. And that word in verse number 8, loving kindness. That's a really interesting word. Brother Rob, I know you like word studies. That's a really interesting word because it's what we would call a Hebraism. That's what it's called. It's called a Hebraism. And there are several of them mentioned throughout the Old Testament in the Hebrew Bible. Now, in the New Testament, if it mentions it, it's because it's quoting the Old Testament. But that word, loving kindness, is called a Hebraism. And what the Hebrew people would do, what the psalmist would do, or the Jewish people would do, is they would use these words that would kind of repeat themselves. They're oftentimes kind of redundant. That word, loving kindness, that's a Hebraism. It's kind of like a double word. It means loving love or loving kindness. Or you'll find in the Old Testament, his merciful kindness. That's to say, his kind kindness or his merciful mercy. And the reason that they would use these Hebraisms is because they didn't feel that one word would do it justice. And I want you to think about that for just one second. Think about the loving kindness of God. So great and so wonderful and so big that we can't even conceive it. We can't even understand or comprehend in our hearts or minds just how much God loves us, just how kind God is to us. And when is the psalmist saying this? In the midst of his troubles. Brother Rob was saying, you know, trouble's going to come, hard times going to come. Everybody's got their sad stories, but listen to me, life's pretty good. God woke you up this morning. He brought you to this church. He put food in our bellies and clothes on our backs. He's so merciful and He's so kind, even though we sin against Him and we upset Him on a daily basis. The psalmist said there in verse number 7, deep calleth unto deep, and the noise of the waters spouts, and the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness. Listen to me, Christian. Things can be a wreck down here. Your life can be a wreck. Your family can be a wreck. You could feel like you can't keep your head above water. You don't know which way's up. But listen to me. God is showing you mercy, and God is showing you love, and God is showing you kindness, and He's pouring it on you abundantly. Amen. The prophet said it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His compassions fail not. No wonder he started praising the Lord. I like what Brother Larry said. He mentions he's here with me in the daytime and he'll be there in the night. But it's almost more than that, you know. Not only is he here with me in the daytime and he'll be there in the night, but he's here with me in the daytime and he's already there. He's already gone before me. You ever watch a parent, how they take care of little kids? How they're both going behind them, cleaning up after them, and somehow at the same time, they're making sure that what they're getting ready to get into is all right, that it's already taken care of and it's already prepared. God has taken such good care of us. God is being so merciful to us. God is being so kind to us. God is shedding abroad His love towards us. There's no more perfect manifestation of the gift of God and His love than of the Lord Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. If you're in here this evening and you're unsaved, please, 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 before you leave this place, please just come talk to me. I want to take this Bible and show you how you can be saved by the grace of God. How you can know for sure that heaven will be your home one day. Let me tell you something, friend. It doesn't get any better than God. Me and Brother Daniel were talking about it the other day leaving church. I can't dream up anything more perfect than He already is. There's not any one thing about God that I can say, you know, maybe I would like it different this way. I can't imagine anything more perfect and more wonderful than my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's nothing better. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking at me. Maybe you want to come up to the altar here this afternoon and pray and just thank God for His mercy and His loving kindness. Man, I tell you, He's been so good to us. Brother Tom mentioned all that protection. God watched over in that car accident. God kept him until He could bring him to that place of where he came to the saving knowledge that Jesus is Lord. Think about those times that God showed you mercy. Think about those times that you deserve judgment. You and I deserve judgment, but instead, God gave us mercy. All the times we've messed up, all the times we've wronged Him, all the times that we've broken His heart, and still yet, every morning, brand new mercy. That's love. It's grace. That's the kind of God He is. Praise the Lord.